Good afternoon. You're listening to News, Views and Interviews on Radio Cardiff 98.7 FM. I'm Jane Morris. Now, when the word cancer is said, which part of the body do you instantly think of? Is it breast cancer, lung, bowel, prostate? I doubt you thought of the pancreas, though. In fact, 26% of people in this country know very little about pancreatic cancer, and over 10% have never even heard of it. Yet pancreatic cancer is Britain's fifth deadliest cancer, killing 22 people a day. Now, this month is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, which aims to raise awareness of the cancer that affects the lives of over 8,000 people in the UK each year. Now, despite being the fifth leading cause of cancer death in the UK, it is still poorly understood by many, including some medical professionals, and it has been chronically underfunded for decades. Now, pancreatic cancer is currently very difficult to diagnose. Upon diagnosis, most sufferers find that they have untreatable terminal cancer, with an average life expectancy of between 3 to 6 months. Surgery is currently the only cure for pancreatic cancer, but only 10% are diagnosed in time for this to be an option. Currently, only 3% of those diagnosed with the disease survive for more than 5 years. And that's a statistic that hasn't changed in over 40 years. Now, someone who knows more than most about this dreadful disease is Ali Stunt. She's a pancreatic cancer survivor and founder of the charity Pancreatic Cancer Action. And she joins us now to discuss the symptoms that we should be looking out for and how early diagnosis saves lives. Hi, Ali.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Very well indeed, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Okay, so do you want to tell our listeners your story? What actually happened with you?
Well, I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in August 2007, and I was only 41 when I was diagnosed. And I'd been unwell for about a month or so before my diagnosis, and I started off with getting a bad pain in my back, in my upper back, near where a lady's bra strap is, and that pain radiated round to the front. I had pain on eating. I lost weight without trying to, and I also had change in bowel habit and other bits and pieces like indigestion. And I went backwards and forwards to my GP numerous times because I just really knew that there was something not right, that these symptoms were not normal for me, and certainly all of them in combination as well. And luckily I kept going back to the doctor because I think my persistency meant that I was actually able to be diagnosed in time to have surgery, which currently is the only potential we have for a cure.
So how many times did you need to go back and forth to the doctors?
Oh gosh, I mean, it was at least 5 or 6 times to my GP. And I also presented to A&E on one occasion, who suspected gallstones might be a problem, but they sent me home. They said I needed an ultrasound scan, but on a bank holiday, there was no scanner available. So I was just sent back to the GP. So, you know, and because cancer wasn't suspected at that point, the GP said, well, you probably need an ultrasound scan, but it's going to take about 4 to 6 weeks before you can get one on the NHS.
God, I mean, you must have been so frustrated by that.
Well, I was, but I was also incredibly lucky in terms of my own personal circumstances because my husband had private medical insurance and I did a quick double check with him to see whether his work insurance would actually cover me as well. And luckily it did. So I was fortunate. I jumped the queue, as it were, and I saw my consultant within 2 days. And he admitted me straight away, and within a week I was on the operating table. Now, he has said subsequently, because my disease was so close to not being able to be got out by surgery, that I might not actually be here today had I waited that 4 to 6 weeks for the ultrasound scan.
Gosh. So, I mean, you only had symptoms for about a month. Is this a fast-acting cancer?
Well, it's not a fast-acting cancer, but it tends to be that symptoms appear usually in the sort of latter stages. So it is imperative if people have got symptoms that are not normal for them, that they should go to the doctor and get them checked out. Because in some cases people will present with symptoms such as jaundice, that's yellowing of the of the skin and the whites of the eyes, and sometimes itching, and very acute abdominal pain. And sometimes that can actually be a little bit too late, because the disease has already progressed away from the pancreas and affecting other parts of the body. So in my case it was only about a month, but the pain that I had actually escalated quite rapidly, so it was becoming really quite concerning, and I was really quite ill by the end of the 4 or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So is there any kind of screening for pancreatic cancer at all?
Sadly, no. You could potentially screen by using CT scans, but that's going to expose people to radiation, mm-hmm. and there's a big cost element, and it's very, very impractical. And really, you do only want to screen people who are at risk, because anybody presenting with vague indigestion or change in bowel habits, it would be a waste of money really to put them through that. What we really need for this disease is some kind of simple blood, urine or saliva test that can be done quickly and cheaply. We don't have that currently, and that's really down to the fact that there is very, very little funding for pancreatic cancer. It's the fifth biggest cause of cancer death in the UK, yet it receives only 1% of cancer research funding. And to put that into money terms, it is only about £5.2 million that the disease received in 2012. And put that against breast cancer, for example, that received £42 million in 2012. So there's a big gap in funding. And because of that, we don't have the effective treatments and we don't have any of these early diagnostic tests.
Mm. Is there research going on at the moment into early diagnostic tests?
There is, and we're looking as a charity, Pancreatic Cancer Action, to put some funding that way. But it's really just a drop in the ocean. We need an awful lot more in order to accelerate the process. We've got some very, very good researchers and fantastic clinicians in pancreatic cancer across the UK. But what we need is that injection of cash to really start accelerating it. But it's not just a UK problem. This is a worldwide problem. Pancreatic cancer is a Cinderella cancer, and it's been neglected for far too long.
Mm. Are there any particular groups of people who are more likely to be affected by pancreatic cancer?
Well, if you smoke, you are. Not many people know about the association between smoking and pancreatic cancer, but in the UK it's estimated that about 29% of people who are smokers get pancreatic cancer. The other way around, 29% percent of pancreatic cancers are caused by smoking. Mm-hmm. The age is a bit of a factor. As we get older, we're more susceptible to cancers anyway. Pancreatic cancer, the incidence increases quite rapidly from the age of 45 up. But 40% of patients are actually under the age of 69. People need to watch their weight. There is a link between obesity and pancreatic cancer, although that's not fully confirmed, but they do feel that there is a growing link. But there's a link between diabetes and pancreatic cancer, certainly, because obviously the pancreas is responsible for the production of insulin, which helps us control our blood sugars.
Mm-hmm. So you've just answered the next question there, what the pancreas actually does. If you are lucky enough to be diagnosed like yourself in time, what treatments are there available?
Well, if you're diagnosed in time for surgery, when that surgery is the best option for patients, it's the only curative option that we've got. It's very major surgery and it needs to be done in a specialist centre, of which there are about 30 or so across the UK. For other people who aren't diagnosed in time for surgery, sometimes people are what is described as being borderline resectable, which means that their tumour is still within the pancreas, but it might be a little bit close to some of the very important blood vessels that go behind the pancreas. So they can sometimes have chemotherapy to try and shrink the tumour away, so then that can then be taken away by surgery, and then that gives them a better option. There are some chemotherapy options for patients who have disease that's spread to other parts of their body as well, but some patients don't respond to those chemotherapy drugs. And again, trying to beat on about this lack of funding, the issue is with pancreatic pancreatic cancer. There are very, very few agents that are available for pancreatic cancer patients that are really extending life to a very great degree. So we need more research to get more of those treatments.
I mean, just going back to the surgery very quickly, do they just remove the tumour or do they remove the whole of the pancreas?
Well, it depends where you have your tumour. So in my case, my tumour is in the middle of my pancreas. So I had 80% of my pancreas, the sort of tail end, and my spleen removed in the operation. Other patients have what's known as a Whipple's procedure, which is very complex surgery that sometimes there will be the whole pancreas will be removed, sometimes a little bit is left there, but there's quite often a significant replumbing, should I put it, of, mm-hmm. of other bits and pieces, and including some lower parts of the stomach, etc. And that's very, very complex major surgery, but it really does offer patients the best opportunity for a cure.
Mm-hmm. So what are you hoping to achieve in your pancreatic cancer month?
Well, we want to do a couple of things, really. We want to raise awareness of the fact that the disease is out there, that it exists, because not many people are aware, as you mentioned before in your introduction, mm-hmm. That the disease exists. Also, to make more people aware of the signs and symptoms of the disease. Now, we're doing this to the general public in broadcasts such as this today, but we also work to produce medical educational programmes for GPs and other doctors, that we've worked with the Royal College of GPs to produce an e-learning module, and Pancreatic Cancer Action is also working currently with a British medical journal to do something very similar for hospital doctors. So it's that we also need to raise awareness of the fact that the disease is so chronically underfunded and that we need help. And we need help with an injection of cash from research funding bodies and government, and also support from the public as well.
Mm-hmm. I did have a very, very quick look at your website earlier, and on there you've actually got a symptoms diary that people can download if they're concerned.
Absolutely, and it's very important. If people have got symptoms that are not normal for them, if they download the diary, it's very, very simple, and just note what symptoms you're having and their severity and on what days, etc. And that helps. When you take that into the GP, it shows a history, and it also helps to have that discussion about, I think it might be pancreatic cancer, and it will get the doctor to rule it out if nothing else.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Just one final question before we have to go. Is there a genetic link at all?
There is some very, very rare genetic predisposition to pancreatic cancer, some rare syndromes. About 5% of pancreatic cancers are hereditary, so that's not a huge amount. But if people are worried, if they've had a first-line relative, and by that I mean mother, father, brother, sister, who have had pancreatic cancer. So if you had two or more of first-line relatives with pancreatic cancer, then the risk increases by 50% over the normal population.
Right.
So it's not a guarantee that people are going to get pancreatic cancer mm-hmm. if they've had it in their family, but there is a little bit more of an increased risk. So they need to make their own GP aware of that family history, so that if they do get any of the symptoms that we have on our website, which is pancreaticcanceraction.org, then they can talk to their doctor about it and the possibility of whether they might be having the disease or not.
Okay, then. Well, you just mentioned it there, but I'm going to ask you to mention it again. Do you want to tell the listeners where they can find out more information?
Absolutely. We've got lots of information on our website, which is www.pancreaticcanceraction.org.
Brilliant. Well, Ali, thank you so much for speaking to us today.
It's my pleasure.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.